The Great Smoky Mountains had always been a place of peace for me. Growing up, my father would take me on long hikes, teaching me about the flora and fauna, and instilling in me a deep respect for nature. Those trips were our bonding moments, and after he passed away, I found myself yearning for the familiar trails and the peace they brought me. So, when Jasmine and I got married, I wanted to share this part of my life with her. She was always up for an adventure, and the idea of a week-long hiking trip seemed like the perfect way to escape the constant grind of our daily lives. We had been walking for days, our backpacks growing lighter as we consumed our supplies. The trails were familiar, but this time I wanted to explore a bit more, to find something new. Jasmine was hesitant at first, but her adventurous spirit soon took over. We veered off the main trail, the dense trees and underbrush making our journey a bit more challenging. But as we delved deeper into the woods, we stumbled upon something unexpected: a secluded cabin. It wasn't marked on any of our maps, and it seemed out of place. The cabin looked old, like it had been there forever. The wood was all worn out, and there was moss everywhere. The roof looked like it was about to cave in. There wasn't even a proper path leading up to it, just overgrown grass and bushes all around. The windows were so dirty that we couldn't really see inside. The whole place just gave off a weird vibe. It was super quiet, not in a peaceful way, but more like the calm before a storm. Jasmine and I just stood there for a bit, trying to figure out what to make of it. I felt like we should check it out, and Jasmine agreed. However, I had this nagging feeling that I really needed to be more alert than usual. In hindsight, I know that was just my natural instincts kicking in, warning me to be on guard. Jasmine nudged me, pointing to a small shed a little ways off from the cabin. It looked just as old, with a rusty padlock hanging off the door. We decided to check it out first, thinking maybe there'd be some clues about who owned the place, or when it was last used. As we approached, there was a faint, musty smell in the air, like old wood and dampness. Inside the shed, we found some old tools, a few broken lanterns, and a stack of yellowed newspapers. The top one caught my eye. The date was from 20 years ago. Flipping through them, we noticed a recurring theme: reports of missing children from nearby towns. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up. It was hard not to think about what might be inside the cabin, especially with those dirty windows hiding its secrets. We decided to head back to the main trail and contact the authorities, but as we turned to leave, we heard a noise from the direction of the cabin. It sounded like a door creaking open, followed by soft, uneven steps. We froze, our hearts pounding, unsure if we should run or hide. Jasmine was pulling at my arm, telling me we should get out of there, but I couldn't help myself. That slightly open door was like a magnet. I had to see what was inside. I walked up to it, trying to be as quiet as I could, and pushed it open a bit more. Let me tell you, the smell that hit me was something else. It was like nothing I'd ever smelled before, but I was pretty sure that's what death smelled like. The little bit of sunlight coming in from the door showed a mess of a room, and that's when I spotted him. He had to have been at least 6'5" and over 250 pounds. From my quick glance, it looked like he had on an old red flannel shirt and dirty work pants and boots. His hair was long and jagged. He just stood there, staring a hole right through me. Right next to him was his big pile of kid's stuff. Clothes, shoes, toys. It reminded me of stuff from a yard sale, but it gave off a real unsettling vibe since it was completely out of place. I stood there, frozen, trying to piece it all together. The old newspapers, the missing kids, this guy, and all that stuff. Jasmine was still holding on to me, and I could feel her shaking. We had to get out, but my feet wouldn't move. That guy was just staring. And then, he took a step forward. We didn't think, we just ran. Trees, bushes, rocks, everything was a blur. We didn't care about the trail or where we were going. We just wanted to get as far away from that cabin as possible. It felt like hours before we finally saw the familiar path we'd left earlier. Once on the main trail, we didn't slow down. We kept going until we reached a ranger station. Out of breath and scared out of our minds, we told them everything. They radioed it in and told us to stay put while they checked it out. We never got the full story, but they told us to steer clear of that area and thanked us for the info. Jasmine and I still love hiking, but that experience changed how we approach it. We stick to the main trails now, never venturing off the beaten path. Every time we lace up our hiking boots, there's a moment where we remember that cabin and the man inside. My name is Luke. Growing up in a small town, I always felt the urge to explore the unknown. My childhood was filled with stories of haunted places and unsolved mysteries, thanks to my grandmother, who was an avid storyteller. She would often tell me about the Vermont ghost town of Glastonbury, a place she'd warned me never to visit. But as the years went by, her warnings only fueled my curiosity. Jared, Dwayne, and I became inseparable during our college years. We shared a common interest, ghost hunting. While most students spent their summer breaks at beaches or music festivals, we'd be in abandoned buildings, equipped with EVP recorders and infrared cameras. One evening, while reminiscing about our past adventures, Jared brought up the idea of visiting Glastonbury. Dwayne, always down for whatever crazy idea we had, was instantly on board. I hesitated for a moment, thinking of my grandmother's warnings, but the allure of the unknown was too strong to resist. The road trip to Vermont was filled with excitement. We sang along to our favorite songs, shared ghost stories, and discussed our plans for the trip. As we approached Glastonbury, the dense forest and the looming silhouette of the mountain kind of spooked me a bit. But I shook it off, reminding myself that this was just another one of our crazy adventures. Little did I know, this trip would be unlike any other. Our first day in Glastonbury was something else. The place was massive, and honestly, it felt a bit overwhelming. We pitched our tents near the base of the mountain, thinking we'd tackle the hike to the observation tower the next day. Night came, and the woods got real quiet, except for the usual nighttime sounds. Dwayne, trying his best to spook us, started telling stories he had read online about folks who had disappeared in the area. It definitely contributed to the creepy vibes, I'll tell you that much. The next day, we started our hike super early. The path to the observation tower was no walk in the park. It was steep, full of rocks, and the trees were so thick in some parts that sunlight barely got through. We'd stop every now and then to catch our breath and take in the view. It was during one of these breaks that Jaren noticed a sort of hidden trail. It was barely there, just a gap in the bushes, but he wanted to check it out. Dwayne and I were curious too, so we followed. This led us to an old cabin in a clearing. It looked pretty beat up from the outside, but there was something about it that drew us in. This mysterious, creepy place was right up our alley. The front door was half open, so we went in. Inside, it was just as old looking. There was dust everywhere, some old furniture, and a bunch of random items laying around. The thing that really got our attention, though, was this open trap door in what appeared to be a bedroom. There were steps going down, and at the bottom, there was this rusty metal door, also open. It was weird and kind of creepy that both doors were just open like that. But we looked at each other, and without saying much, we knew we had to go see what was down there. I was at the front. I took a deep breath and slowly peeked past the rusty metal door. It was dark, but not pitch black. There were these torches on the walls, giving off this flickering orange light. The path from the door led straight down to where a noise we had been hearing was coming from. The noise, which now sounded like chanting, was louder now, and it echoed all around, making it feel like it was coming from everywhere. As my eyes adjusted, I could see them. There were these people in dark robes, standing in a circle. In the middle, there was this platform which appeared to have some kind of altar on it. I couldn't see clearly, and honestly, I didn't want to. But before I could even process what I was seeing, one of the robed figures turned and looked straight at me. It felt like time stopped for a second. Then, all hell broke loose. Several of them started running towards us, shouting and waving their arms. We hauled ass out of there. The cabin wasn't close to where we parked the car. It was a good 10-minute sprint, and that's if you're not being chased by a bunch of crazy cult members. I ran as fast as possible, but I was so terrified, my legs felt like blocks of cement. The sun was beginning to set. It wasn't dark yet, but it was getting there. The car was our lifeline. We could see it up ahead, parked on the dirt path where we left it. We didn't slow down, not even when we hit the clearing. I fumbled with the keys, my hands shaking like crazy. The engine roared to life and we peeled out of there, tires spitting dirt and gravel. I can barely remember the drive out of Glastonbury. I just know, at that time, we didn't speak. The radio was off. All we could hear was our heavy breathing and the sound of the car speeding down the road. We didn't stop until we hit the nearest town. Only then did we start to process what had just happened. We ended up at some diner in the next town. The place had those old-school neon lights, and honestly, it felt good to be somewhere normal. We grabbed a booth in the back. Dwayne kept checking the entrance, like he thought those creepy robe guys would just stroll in. Jared didn't say much, just kept staring into his coffee like it had all the answers. Time moved on, and so did my friends and I. We talked about maybe going back, and maybe even bringing some friends to see if it wasn't as bad as we remembered. But let's be real, none of us wanted to go anywhere near that place again. But here's the kicker. When we were driving out of Glastonbury, I took one last look in the rearview mirror, and I'm pretty sure I saw one of those robe dudes just standing there at the edge of the forest watching us leave. It gives me the creeps just thinking about it. Even now, I sometimes feel like they're out there and they haven't forgotten about us. Look, I just want to start off by saying that I don't care if anyone believes me or not. What happened, happened, and I know it was real. I grew up in the city, so I was used to the noise. Cars honking, people shouting, the constant buzz of life. But after the year I had, I needed a break. My girlfriend and I split. I got laid off, and then my dad passed away. It felt like life was just kicking me while I was down. Some of my buddies said I should hit the beach or go to some fancy resort, but I didn't want any of that. I just wanted to be alone. So, I found this cabin in the woods online and figured it was worth it. The drive there was a pain. The GPS kept losing signal, and the roads were all twisty and turny. When I finally got to the cabin, it was pretty basic. Old wood, creaky floors, but it did the job. The woods around it were thick and quiet. It was weird not hearing any city sounds, just birds, wind, and my own thoughts. The first day was all right. I walked around, checked out the place, read a bit, and even tried to clear my head. When night came, I started a fire outside and just stared up at the stars. It felt good, but that didn't last long. The second night, I decided to do the same thing. Sit outside, enjoy the fire, and watch the stars. There's something about the vastness of the universe that makes personal problems seem so small. As I was lost in thought, a sudden, intense light blinded me. It wasn't like any flashlight or car headlights I'd ever seen. It was brighter, almost otherworldly. Before I could even react, everything went black. When I came to, the sun was high in the sky. I was disoriented, standing outside the cabin. My watch showed it was midday, but that couldn't be right. I'd lost an entire day and didn't know how. I tried to piece together the night, but it was like trying to remember a dream after waking up. Bits and pieces, nothing concrete. As I went inside to get some water, I caught my reflection in the mirror. There was a small, red circular mark on the side of my neck. I didn't even remember getting it, and it looked fresh. The rest of the day, I was paranoid as hell. Every little sound made me jump. If I heard a branch break, bird chirping, or even the wind, I would damn near jump out of my skin. I kept glancing over my shoulder, convinced someone or something was lurking nearby. I double-checked the locks on the cabin doors multiple times. Every time I tried to sit down and relax, my mind raced, replaying that blinding light and the lost time. That red mark on the side of my neck was there, and I had no idea how it got there. I was certain of one thing. I wasn't spending another night there. I started packing my stuff, ready to leave at first light. I woke up at the crack of dawn the next morning and immediately started packing up my stuff. I was dead set on getting out of there. I just wanted to get in my car and drive as far away from that place as possible. But as I was loading the last of my stuff, I heard a low hum. It started faint, but grew louder, filling the air around me. It wasn't a sound I recognized, and it seemed to come from everywhere and nowhere at the same time. I tried to ignore it and just focus on leaving, but then I felt it. A cold, tingling sensation through my whole body. I don't remember ever feeling anything like that in my life. I turned around slowly, and hovering above the trees was a massive, glowing object. It wasn't like any aircraft I'd ever seen. The light it emitted was the same blinding intensity from the previous night. I freaked the hell out and just abandoned my stuff, jumped into my car, and floored the gas pedal. I was tearing down that forest road like a bat out of hell. The humming faded, but I couldn't shake the feeling that something was chasing me. Everywhere I turned, I expected to see that light again, but I kept driving, pushing my car to its limits, desperate to escape whatever had visited me in that cabin. I didn't know what that thing was or what it wanted, but I wasn't sticking around to find out. I drove like a madman until I reached the next town. I was a mess, hands shaking, mind spinning. I pulled into a gas station trying to get a grip. The whole thing just didn't seem real. That mark on my neck was real, though. I kept telling myself it was just some weird reaction to a plant or something in the woods, but deep down, I knew it was something else. I crashed at a motel that night, thinking I would get some rest, but sleep was a battle. Every time I would start to drift off, I would jerk awake, thinking I had heard that hum. I thought maybe it was just the trauma, the stress of the whole ordeal playing tricks on my mind, but I was wrong. One night, after I got back to the city, I had the most vivid and terrifying experience. I woke up and my room was freezing cold. I tried to move, but it was like I was paralyzed. Out of the shadows, they emerged. Those emotionless beings, their very presence was simply terrifying. They surrounded my bed, observing me. I had no clue what their intentions were. The fear was indescribable. I wanted to scream, to run, but I was trapped in my own body. Then, as suddenly as they appeared, they vanished, leaving me gasping for air, drenched in a sweat. The room returned to its normal state, but the terror lingered. Every night, I dread going to sleep, scared of what I might see. The woods, the light, those beings, it wasn't over. Whatever happened at that cabin, it followed me home, and I have a feeling it's not done with me yet. There's a reason people say not to rent cabins in the woods during off-peak seasons. Last October, I learned that the hard way. My name's Claudio, born and raised in the concrete jungle. But the constant honking of horns and the blaring police sirens kinda wears you out after a while. That's why I decided to spend a week alone in a cabin deep in the forest. I wanted a bit of peace and quiet, some time to reflect and relax. The first day was just as I had hoped. I arrived at the cabin around noon. It was small, cozy, and isolated, perfect for what I wanted. I unpacked my bags, lit a fire, and sat by the window, just watching the leaves fall. It felt great to be in a totally different environment than what I was used to. By day two, I found myself slipping into a pattern. I would hike during the day, cook something simple in the evening, and read a book by the fire at night. But as the sun set, I began to notice something odd. I kept hearing noises outside, like footsteps. I didn't pay much mind to it at first, thinking maybe it was just an animal. The woods are full of them, after all. The third night, though, that's when things got weird. I was in the middle of a great chapter when the power went out. No lights, no heat. It caught me off guard, but I figured this was a normal thing that happens in cabins. I found some candles and lit them around the room. That's when I saw a shadow moving past the window. I jumped out of my chair. I shouted out if anyone was there, trying to sound brave. I mean, I didn't expect a reply, and I didn't get one. Just the sound of the wind blowing through the trees and the distant hoot of an owl, which creeps me out, by the way. Maybe I was just letting the darkness play tricks on my mind. But then, as I tried to settle down and tell myself I was overreacting, there was a knock on the door. Not a soft, polite knock. A loud, insistent one that scared the living hell out of me. I froze, listening, hoping it was just a tree branch or something. But then it came again, louder this time. It was clear that someone or something was out there. The knocking persisted, and every thud made my heart beat faster. All sorts of thoughts raced through my head. Did I leave something outside? Was it just a lost traveler? Or was it something more sinister? I crept towards the window, staying low, trying not to make a single sound. Peeking out, I saw nothing. No silhouette, no sign of movement, just darkness and trees. Slowly, I approached the door. I wasn't armed, so I grabbed a fireplace poker, feeling slightly more secure with it in hand. There was a small peephole in the door, so I leaned in to take a look. My eyes scanned the pitch black night, but there was no one there, just an empty porch. But then, a few meters away, something caught my attention. Footprints in the mud, leading towards the cabin. I retreated and began barricading the door with anything I could find. Chairs, the coffee table, anything heavy enough to make it difficult for someone to push their way in. I knew it might be overkill, but the adrenaline and fear made me act on instinct. Once I felt the door was sufficiently blocked, I grabbed my backpack, filled it with essentials, and started thinking of an exit strategy. The cabin had a back door, but it was old and creaky. I figured if I tried to sneak out, the door might give me away. But there was a window in the bedroom that was big enough for me to climb through. I decided that would be my escape route. Before leaving, I took a deep breath, telling myself that I just needed to get to my car. It wasn't far, maybe a 5-minute sprint through the woods. Moving cautiously, I climbed out the window and landed softly on the ground. The forest was silent, save for the occasional rustling of leaves. At this point, I was completely on high alert. I started making my way towards my car, making sure to avoid any branches or obstacles that might make noise. Every few steps, I would stop and listen, making sure I wasn't being followed. Halfway to my car, I heard a sound that made my blood run cold. The unmistakable sound of someone else running in the forest. They were behind me, and it sounded like they were getting closer. My level of alertness cranked up to DEFCON 1, and I started to run as fast as I could, not caring about the noise anymore. The keys were in my pocket, and I prayed that I would reach my car before they reached me. Finally, I saw the glint of moonlight reflecting off my car. I dashed towards it, fumbling with the keys. My fingers felt numb and clumsy, but after fumbling a bit, I managed to unlock the door and jump inside. The engine roared to life just as I saw a shadowy figure emerge from the trees. I slammed the car in reverse and peeled rubber out of there like it was nobody's business. It's been a year since that night, and I still don't know who or what was in the woods with me. Sometimes I think about going back just to find answers. But then I remember the fear, the feeling of being hunted, and I realize some things are better left unknown. I'm back in the city now, where the only noises I hear are the familiar sounds of urban life. But every now and then, when the wind howls just right, it takes me back to that cabin, reminding me of the night I'll never forget. The woods behind my parents' house always had a way of speaking to our young imaginations, especially during the nights when the darkness would play tricks on our eyes. But that one evening, the woods whispered a tale neither Tyler nor I have ever dreamt up. Growing up, my house was a designated hangout spot for all the kids in the neighborhood. It had everything. A big yard, a treehouse, and of course, the woods. Tyler and I had been best friends since preschool. We both had that adventurous spirit that got us into plenty of mischief. But no matter what, we always had each other's backs. Hide and seek was our game. It wasn't just any hide and seek. It was extreme hide and seek, where the deeper you went into the woods, the cooler you were. But no one ever went too deep. There were stories about the woods, tales of kids going in and never coming back out. I'd like to think those were just stories meant to scare us. That evening, Tyler had this mischievous glint in his eye. He said he would count to 200 to give me a real chance to hide. I thought, why not go deeper than ever before? There was this urge to prove myself, to make this game legendary. Breathing hard, I ran deeper and deeper. The familiar parts of the woods started to look alien. That's when I stumbled upon the cabin. It looked ridiculously old, covered in moss and rotting in various places. It didn't look like anyone had lived there for years. I thought it was a perfect hiding spot. Inside, the cabin was dim, with only slivers of the setting sun filtering through the cracks. Old furniture lay scattered, draped with dusty clothes. But a weird vibe hung in the air, an eerie stillness, a smell, a feeling of being watched. But I told myself I was just being paranoid. The floorboards creaked under my feet as I tried to find a hiding spot. The deeper I went, the colder it became. I found an old closet and decided to hide there. But just as I was about to step in, I caught a glimpse of something from the corner of my eye. A movement, a shadow. It turned out I wasn't alone in that cabin. I froze. It's crazy how in moments of fear, you become super aware of everything. There were noises, faint but audible, coming from the back of the cabin. My first thought was that it was just Tyler trying to scare me. But then I remembered how deep I had ventured into the woods. There's no way he could have gotten there before me. I couldn't help but want to know more. Peeking around the corner, I saw someone, but it wasn't Tyler. There was a man in the cabin, and he looked different. His face was completely disfigured, and his clothes were all torn and old. He looked like someone straight out of those creepy stories parents tell to keep their kids away from places. I tiptoed back towards the door, but in my rush, I knocked over an old rusty can. It made a huge noise. I held my breath waiting. Sure enough, footsteps started coming towards me. Time stretched with every step he took, and the ghost stories about the woods suddenly felt real. My heart raced in terror. Thinking fast, I remembered the window I had seen near the entrance. It was small, but might be big enough for a kid my size to squeeze through. I ran to it, opened it up, and managed to get out just in time. The last thing I wanted was a face-to-face with that guy. Once outside, I didn't stop running. Trees, bushes, branches, I ran through them all. I wanted to get as far away from that cabin as possible. When I thought I had put enough distance between me and the cabin, I slowed down, trying to catch my breath. I was covered in dirt and sweat, but the adrenaline kept me going. Although it felt like I'd been out there for ages, it wasn't only a short time before I recognized the face. Tyler. He looked worried sick. I must have looked like I had seen a ghost. We didn't say much. I just told him we needed to get out of the woods. He didn't ask any questions, just nodded, and we ran back home together. That night, we both promised never to venture that deep into the woods again. And as for the old cabin, well, we never spoke of it. Some things are better left unsaid. But one thing's for sure, our hide-and-seek games were never quite the same after that. Ever since we came back from that cabin, things haven't been the same. It's like something followed us home. Or maybe, something got into my boyfriend there. It's hard to explain. I've always been a city girl. Bright lights, bustling streets, and the hum of traffic are what I'm used to. My boyfriend, on the other hand, grew up in a small town surrounded by forests. He often talked about how much he missed the peace of the woods, so when our anniversary approached, he suggested we escape to a remote cabin for a weekend. It sounded romantic, and I thought it might be a fun adventure. We drove for hours, and the city soon gave way to dense woods. The further we went, the fewer houses we saw. By the time we reached the cabin, it felt like we were in the middle of nowhere. No cell service, no neighbors, just us. At first, I loved the idea of being completely disconnected. But as night fell, the silence became a little too much. The cabin itself was quaint. Wooden logs, a small porch, and an old stone fireplace. It was exactly what you would imagine a rustic cabin in the woods to be. We made dinner together and laughed about old times. Everything felt normal, except for one thing. There was an old photo on the mantle of a young couple. Their faces looked eerily familiar, but I couldn't place them. I remember shrugging it off as just a weird coincidence. As the night went on, things started getting weird. We heard footsteps outside. At first, we thought it might be an animal, but then the steps became louder, more deliberate. We turned off the lights and peered out the window, but there was nothing. The steps stopped as abruptly as they began. We tried to laugh it off, but I could tell we were both a little on edge. That night, as we lay in bed, we heard a soft whispering. It seemed to come from all around the cabin. It was inaudible, like someone mumbling from a distance. My boyfriend said it was probably just the wind. But I don't know any wind that sounds like hushed voices. I woke up in the middle of the night to use the restroom. As I walked through the living room, I saw the front door slightly open. Cold air was rushing in. I quickly closed it and locked it. What bothered me was that I remembered distinctly locking it before going to bed. I hurried back to bed, pulling the covers over my head. The next morning, things seemed brighter. Sunlight streamed in through the windows. The sounds of birds singing filled the air. It almost made me forget the strange occurrences of the night before. My boyfriend made us some breakfast, and we planned to explore the woods a bit. As we walked deeper into the forest, we found a well. It looked really old. Beside the well, there was a small stone plaque. It was worn out, but we could make out some writing. It said something about the well being a place of wishes and warnings. It seemed odd, but we didn't think much of it. My boyfriend is always goofing around, and so he thought it would be funny to make a wish. He found a coin in his pocket and tossed it in. I didn't hear the coin hit the water. Instead, there was a deep, echoing sound, almost like a sigh. It was unsettling, and I told him we should probably head back. We returned to the cabin, but the vibe felt different. The once cozy space felt cold and distant. Even the photo on the mantle seemed to have changed. The couple in it looked older, their smiles now replaced with somber expressions. My boyfriend didn't seem to notice, but I did. That evening, things escalated. While we were sitting by the fire, we heard a loud thud. It came from the bedroom. We both jumped and went to see what it was. A chair had fallen over by itself. There was no explanation. The windows were closed, and there was no draft. It spooked us, but we didn't really know what to do about it. We decided to sleep, hoping the next day would be better. But that night was even more terrifying. I woke up to find my boyfriend not in bed. I searched for him and found him in the living room. He was standing in the corner, facing the wall, whispering to himself. His eyes were wide open, but I could tell he wasn't really there. I tried to wake him, but he just kept whispering. Finally, after a while, he snapped out of it. I asked him what was happening, but he had no memory of it. The next day, we packed up and left. We didn't say much on the drive home. We were both shaken by the experience. But what happened after we returned home was even more disturbing. My boyfriend started having nightmares. He would wake up screaming at the top of his lungs. Sometimes, he would sleepwalk and stand in a corner, just like he did at the cabin. And again, he would have no memory of what happened whenever I would ask him about it. It's been 2 months and he's still struggling. We're trying to find answers. Maybe something at that cabin affected him. Or maybe it was that old well. Whatever it is, I just want things to go back to normal. I want my boyfriend back. But I'm starting to fear that the cabin took something from him that he can't get back.